This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. And we're back. This is Wells Tech, episode 417 for Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015. My name is Martin Spriggs, and this is a show about technology and ministry, show we call Wells Tech, although it is about tech. It's not all about Wells. We talk about all kinds of things related to ministry, and I think our opportunities are greater than ever in helping me explore those intersections. As usual, Sally Draper from beautiful, lovely New Ulm, Minnesota. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be joining you today. And it is lovely here today. We're in the 70s, believe it or not, in the month of November in Minnesota. And we're enjoying it for as long as it lasts.
Have you seen any snow fly yet?
I can't say that I have. We had one day where it was threatened and it was in the state a little bit, but I think maybe just sleet here in New Orleans.
Okay. So I got to share with you. Oh, that's cool. I got to share with you a little revelation that I uncovered by accident just before the show. So I'm in Google Chrome just doing a few searches, and I happen to type just the web address of something, hit the space bar, and then kept typing. So I think it was youtube.com/something. And lo and behold, and I don't know if this has always been like this, the first time I've seen it, is it's going to allow me just to use that search term on that website. So if you type youtube.com/whatever, and it's going to search YouTube. I tried it with wells.net. It was going to do the same thing. So apparently that's a thing. Is that something you're aware of?
No, I don't think I've ever noticed that that existed. But you're saying basically a filtered site-only search.
Yeah.
Putting in the web address. That's pretty cool. And that was on Google?
Yeah, I'm in Chrome, so I'm going to type in wells.net/, and then it immediately changes to search wells.net. Search for Draper on wells.net, and lo and behold, it pulls up search and all the results there. So that's pretty cool. I'm assuming that maybe that's been around a while, but I just kind of stumbled on it today. Pretty cool. So free tip right off the start of the show. I figured you had known that all along, and you were going to just say, yeah, Martin, that's been around about 5 years now, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. Isn't that what everybody heard? I actually just opened up Bing and tried the same thing and did not get the same results. So no little magic switch to searching the site with the space there. So okay. A Google Easter egg for us today. Thank you very much. I bet I'll make use of that pretty soon.
And I'm not done dispensing knowledge or what little I have. I have to pull it out whenever I've got it. But we're going to talk about a presentation that I gave just late last week. I gave a couple presentations for the Wisconsin Lutheran State Teachers Conference. I've been to that, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. I don't know how many times. But it's kind of fun being with the teachers. It's always a very eager group, eager to learn. They're there and they want to soak up as much knowledge as possible. And this time around, I was doing a presentation on flipped classroom technology, and I started with a disclaimer right away because I don't teach. I don't stand in front of a class day in and day out like almost everybody at the sectional did. So I was really focusing on just the raw, the hardware, the software, the websites that were useful for flipping a classroom. Now, I do kind of use almost all of these from time to time, but you and I both teach an MLC class, and that's kind of a flipped classroom scenario where you're creating videos and your distance learning is very similar, but not quite the same. But so with that disclaimer, I felt that just focus on the you know, just the tooling, the software, the hardware would be certainly beneficial, and was more than able to fill an hour just in talking about that. And lo and behold, because flipped classrooms have been around for a while now, there is just a ton of software, of apps, of hardware, and I thought maybe take a little time on this show for anybody interested in flipping their classrooms, what it might take or what technologies are at their disposal. And turns out there are quite a bit. So,
and anybody interested might be an audience beyond that teacher crowd that you met at Teachers Conference, because I'm sure there are many, many applications for all types of ministry. So we're in the business in ministry of sharing the good news and using different communication channels to do that. Obviously, face-to-face is going to work really well. But I think having people, giving people the ability to hear your message via video and then talk about it further face-to-face as the flipped classroom scenario plays out, I think that's a great way to share the gospel ministry as well. So yeah, definitely application for churches, for pastors that are listening, or anyone who's trying to communicate a message.
Yeah, I think specifically of catechism or confirmation class, where we hear all the time, I think we get emails and such about, well, how do you deal with this distance, you know, that is mm-hmm. sometimes separating my confirmand and in the church location, where, you know, it's a struggle just to get there on Sunday morning, and now you have to ask them maybe to come in once a week to do a confirmation class. This would, some of the technologies we're going to talk about would be very useful in that kind of scenario.
Sure, not even distance, not just distance, but also timing, just right. finding a good time, and people miss classes and things like that. So yep. all of those kind of scenarios would yeah. fit. So impart your knowledge.
Go do it. All right.
Do it. Yeah.
Probably want to, and I will bring up the presentation for those of you watching, those of you listening, we'll talk through some of these slides. There is an entire presentation out on Google Slides that I created, which we'll share the link to, but if you want to jot that down real quickly, it's bit.ly/WLSTC2015, stands for Wisconsin Lutheran State Teachers Conference 2015-flipped. So bit.ly/WLSTC2015-flipped, and you'll be able to see the entire presentation. When I gave the presentation, again, I started with that disclaimer, but some of our objectives were around finding immediate solutions, you know, quick solutions to immediate problems, and then encourage them to think a little bit longer term and what their needs were, because once you dive into this, you really don't want to change direction. You want to kind of stick with whatever it is that you've begun to work with. And we've experienced that, or I think all of us have experienced that, where we invest in a technology and then for whatever reason it doesn't meet our needs, or it goes away, or Google shuts it down or whatever. And now you have this huge effort to move in a different direction. So I encourage the folks at the sectional to think, you know, really clearly and take your time in picking the platform and the tools, and then ultimately identify a game plan before you dive head first. I talked a little bit about some general planning suggestions and encouraged them to think about, rather than just kind of using the wealth of videos that are out there, because of, flipped classroom videos are really prevalent right now. You can find them just with a quick Google search. Start small and start making your own videos and just kind of get into a rhythm with that, because at the end of the day, you're going to want to do that, so you might as well start owning that process. And then general encouragement to start slow and pick one. So if you're thinking about flipping a classroom, don't flip all of them and don't flip it every day. Just maybe pick one subject and do it once a week as a start, just to see if the the pace is something that you can live with, because very often it is going to be maybe more work than you had initially thought. And I think there were no misconceptions among the people in the sectionals that I was teaching, that they felt, yeah, I recognize that this is not going to be some silver bullet that will save me a ton of time. In fact, it could take them more time just to begin with. So I think they understood that.
Always a good idea in any development, I think, is to start small and learn from your mistakes. And maybe every once in a while look back at where you started to see your progress, because obviously over time you're going to refine it.
Yep, for sure. There are a lot of different choices out there, and maybe the first choice you need to make is the platform on which you want to flip a classroom. Obviously, there's a PC versus Mac scenario. Very often you're kind of, that's already been predetermined for you. Mm-hmm. Your school uses, you know, Macs, your school uses Windows, so you have to kind of live with that. But a platform that is really useful for flipping and for teachers in general, I believe, is tablets, and specifically the iPad, just because of the wealth of apps. And there are a lot of, I think, a lot of opportunities to use the iPad in the classroom as a teaching tool. And you know, I really encourage all the teachers there to think about, you know, that as a maybe an important thing in their tool belt that they bring into the classroom. Even if the students don't have one, there are lots of uses for iPads in the classroom in the hands of the teacher. Of course, any tablet, any touch interface is going to be good when you're dealing with flipping a classroom. I think that is the future, and the ability to manipulate things on screen. All the apps that we're going to look at here are very useful, or more useful, if you're able to touch them. And even you can create a flipped classroom environment, even if all you have to work with is a Chromebook, because there's a lot of there are a lot of tools that work specifically in the browser. So that's the good news. And then I encouraged all of the folks there also to think about some tools that already maybe exist in their classroom. And one of those tools is the smart board, or maybe it's a Prometheus, or what any of the other kind of electronic whiteboards that are out there that could be useful in that, because many of them have recording software.
Just baked right in there for you to take advantage of, huh?
Yep. They're not as full-featured, I don't think, but they do offer the advantage of having some interactivity in a physical space. So you could have students come up to the smart board or the Mimeo board or Promethean board and interact with it, and that could be a part of the flip as well. So, and then I did a quick demo of Smart Recorder. So that's a whole different scenario. And then I got kind of into the many different options. What you'll find in the presentation, and this is maybe one of its benefits of going through the presentation, is I included a decision key for every technology with the pros and the cons. So for smart boards, I had a decision key slide that said the pros would be you may already have it. You have access to some of these tools, and you can record these student interactions. Some of the cons would be, well, you have to have the hardware, of course. You can't do face recording, and you have to do something manual, usually with the videos that you're capturing. So hopefully that's helpful. I wanted to kind of deliver the presentation in a way where they could make some choices, see the demo, maybe think about what their application would be, and then hopefully use the decision key to say, well, I need that, but I don't need that. Therefore, this maybe would be the tool that I would maybe explore a little bit. So hopefully the presentation was helpful in that regard. Mix.office.com. And one of the neat things about this tool is you simply download it. You have to have Office 2010 or higher, or Office 365. It's a free add-on to PowerPoint. It does record everything on your screen, so you can do screen capture or just present the slides. You can annotate the slides with digital ink. One of the cooler application series. It will take, it'll allow you to install apps right inside of it, which would allow you to do polls and surveys with assessments. So when you do allow the students to take these polls or surveys, you can review what their results were. That gives you a little bit more of a way to engage the student rather than just kind of this passive watching experience. You can actually have them pause the presentation or right within the presentation, stop it, force them to interact with it, answer a question or two before they move on. And then you can go back after they're all done and get some insights and analytics based on their results to see how well they did, if they captured the content. There are all kinds of sample mixes that are available out there. One of the other nice things about the product is it gives you just a quick and easy way to upload a mix once you're done. It has its own online service where you just hit upload. It's right within PowerPoint. You don't even have to leave PowerPoint. And then it goes up to the Office Mix server. You grab a link. You can permission it. It can be a private link, it can be semi-private, it can be totally public. And then at the end, then you're given an email that says, here are the results. So just a very useful, I think, product for somebody who lives in PowerPoint already, which is one of the appeals of this particular product, because you've got maybe a whole wealth of PowerPoints already. Why not take advantage of a tool that's going to ride right on top of that and allow you to do a flip based on existing content? So you're not having to learn a new technology. You're not having to recreate presentation slides. All the animations are there. You've done all the work. Why not put something right on top of it?
I'm all about easy. That seems easy enough to do if you're a mm-hmm. PowerPoint user.
Yep, absolutely. And it's still in preview. You can see that it says Office Mix Preview, but this has been in preview for over a year, I think. So I don't think it's going away. It's actually pretty popular.
Cool.
Let me go back to the presentation here. And then I have a decision key for that. And I wanted to maybe address one other category, and this would be something that is not on the PC or actually Office Mix is only on the PC, not for Mac. This next one, called Explain Everything, is on the iPad. And I don't know, did Jason talk about this when he was on the show? I know he's talked about this in the past. Mm-hmm. Explain Everything is tablet only. And I'm just going to actually bring it up here. There we go.
There it is.
So you can see the interface here. So annotation is actually very easy. So you build your slides one at a time. You build them right on the iPad. So you can pull content from the web. You can pull content from the camera roll, Dropbox, wherever it is. Then once you're set up to kind of go through the presentation, you click the record button. And then you start talking. So it's using the microphone of the iPad, in this case, whatever tablet is you're using. And then it's capturing whatever is on screen. And you manipulate the objects. One of the demos showed somebody building kind of the universe, the sun in the middle, and pulling the Earth around the orbit of the sun. So you can animate things that way. You can type things. You can use pointers, draw lines. They have a full equation editor. So you can do kind of whiteboarding math kinds of things. You could do images, drawing techniques, those kinds of things. And then when you're done, you just go from slide to slide. You hit done and then upload. And it will upload it to the Explain Everything server, or you can export it to Dropbox or one of those things and then easily upload it to something like Google Drive, something like that, where you could reshare it. This is probably one of the most often mentioned Flip Classroom apps that exists on the iPad, and it's very inexpensive. It's $2.99 for the app. Well worth it if you're thinking about using iPads for flipping. So that was kind of an eye opener for people in the class that they hadn't thought of maybe using a touch interface to do this. They thought, well, maybe I'm just going to show my screen and have a talking head. This gives you a little bit more interactivity, a little more visually interesting, which is going to be a challenge if you want somebody to, you know, sit, you know, in front of a computer and be engaged with an on-screen video when a live person is not there.
Very good.
Let me just flip through a couple of more interesting ones. One of your favorites, Sally, I talked a lot about TechSmith. TechSmith has actually four products that really apply to the flipped classroom. One of them is our friend Snagit. And Snagit used to be image capture only. They've added video and actually unlimited video now. So you don't even have a time limit on the video. You don't have all the editing features for video like you would in the next product, which is Camtasia, but you don't also have the price tag. So Snagit is, we got some nonprofit pricing for $43 a copy. Camtasia is all the way up to $249 for the Windows version, but Camtasia is kind of like the Cadillac of screencasting. So if you want to do any kind of post-production work where you're layering and adding multiple recordings on top or annotating, blurring things out, that kind of stuff, Camtasia is probably well worth the price, especially if you're doing a lot of flipping.
You can even do picture-in-picture, so if you really do want your face to show, it'll record your webcam while it's recording the screen
right,
or whatever.
Yep, you appear as a little box on the on the screen. Snagit doesn't allow that, but it will capture your voice, so you can annotate it. So you're basically just sharing your screen. Another thing Snagit can't do that Camtasia can is embed video. You can't push a video in into Snagit. So that's one of the other things you can't do. A couple of new products that you may not be aware of, Sally, that are coming out of TechSmith is one called Nomia. And there's a free version for the iPad, but there's also a paid-for version, which gives you a few more features. And that is kind of an explain-everything clone. Actually, it's a little bit easier to use, I think, than explain-everything. So it is another option, and actually one of the ones that I would recommend even over explain everything. So
in a lot of these, you're thinking about them in terms of flipping your classroom, so the teacher using these tools, but you could have the students create videos and let them flip the lesson or whatever. You know, you can, it's not just the teacher, and the tools aren't so difficult that students can create videos as well.
Right, and there's going to be a, I'm going to demonstrate one here in a minute that is perfect for that, especially for those using Chromebooks, where a lot of our classrooms I know are set up
Definitely.
That way. So, what's that?
Definitely, Chromebooks super popular in our classrooms, I agree.
This one, and maybe I'll just demonstrate this on screen. This is called Screen Chomp, and I'll just turn the iPad around here. I like it because of its simplicity. It's kind of a cute little application, so it's called Screen Chomp. Very simple interface. All you have are some markers and an eraser and a record button. So the application for this, and this is again from TechSmith, a free application, that you take the iPad up to the student's desk and you can take a picture of whatever it is that they're working on. So if they're working on an art project or a math equation or even a piece of written work, you take a picture, it appears on the screen, and then you can annotate right on the top of that just by clicking on you know, one of these markers and then drawing on the screen. What you can do when you're drawing on the screen, though, is hit the record button. And once you're starting to record, it gives you a little countdown. And then whatever you write on the screen is, or overlay over whatever you've taken a picture of, is captured plus the audio. So you're giving a little bit of a screen presentation right on the student's desk. And then once you're done, you hit the stop button.
It's our favorite teacher. I do hear you.
It comes right back at you. And then you can upload it to their server and email a link right to the student. So whatever it is that you did right at their desk can go home with them, basically. So if you were doing a, you know, helping them with a math equation or showing them a technique and, you know, in their art project, they've got their little personal tutorial right on the screen. This is a free application called ScreenChomp. Works really, really well. Only on iPad, I think, right now, but the price is right for you to try it. And that's why I say, you know, an iPad or a tool like it is really an invaluable thing, you know, within the classroom.
So one of the themes I'm hearing from you, Martin, is where to host these files. You keep saying they have their own server space, or they have the ability to just with one click put it. And that's makes it super easy to use those, but you also want to be kind of cognizant, maybe saving a copy in another place or whatever that you can get to for archival purposes and such. I don't always like to just use their server space for hosting my stuff. So I'm sure you have options.
There are a lot of options. Let me just cover one more quick screencasting tool, and then we will jump into some of those options. And this one actually accomplishes what you were talking about, Sally. It's called MoveNote, where this is all web-based. So you simply go to MoveNote.com. It's all web-based. It shows whatever PowerPoint or Google Slides you've uploaded. Actually, you can upload a PDF, a series of PDFs as well. So it shows your presentation and it shows you, and you have a record button, and that's it. So this would be one of those applications you could turn over to the students and say, here's your presentation tool. Upload your slides, hit the record button, do your presentation, and then share it. It saves it to the cloud, and ultimately you just need to send a link to whoever it is that you want to view it. It really couldn't get any simpler. You do have ads. You can pay to get rid of the ads. So there's a per presentation fee or an annual fee. So it's actually fairly reasonable. But MoveNote requires nothing but a webcam, a microphone, and your computer. Doesn't require any other software. So it's really an inexpensive solution and kind of takes care of that, you know, where do you store all these things as well. So that's something to look for, just ease of use.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And maybe you're trying to encourage your teaching staff to do some flipped lessons. I think getting them in there and making it super easy for them is going to really speak to the adoption rate. You know, maybe they'll learn more over time and get more expansive with their skills, but getting them started easily, you know, hand them an iPad or just turn on, you know, just go to this website and make your recording, that's going to be a lot more encouraging than giving them a lot of technical stuff to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. You had mentioned storage options. There's all kinds of options out there. A lot of learning management systems we've talked about in the past will do that. Schoology, Edmodo, those kinds of things. A lot of the schools that are probably, a lot of the people that are watching this podcast are maybe in Google Apps. Google Docs is a storage option for a lot of these as well, because it will convert videos, and there is a player for many of the formats, a built-in player. Most Google Apps accounts have almost unlimited storage for those kinds of things, so you have options there as well. You can embed most of these in any web page or classroom website that you create. You could even do this with Final Web. So you upload it to YouTube or Vimeo, and then you just embed the video right on right on your final web page. Or I mentioned to the sectionals that I was teaching, WordPress is really quick and easy to set up and get a classroom website propped up. And that whole concept of the blogging format works well because you can categorize things by class. You can have comments and feedback, et cetera. So there's all kinds of options there.
Definitely.
I don't know what else I guess I would encourage everybody to take a look at the presentation. There's all kinds of different things that we don't have time to cover here. That's just kind of a brief introduction. Some cool tools that I came across in the process. This is just one of them. And I'll have application for this for our podcast too. It's a little microphone, a Shure microphone, lightning port, where you plug this into your iPad or your iPhone or whatever tablet that you're using, a very high quality microphone basically. And it's directional, but works nicely, better than using kind of the onboard microphone that you get with the device itself. So audio is really important when you're flipping, because you really need to make sure that there's not a lot of extraneous noise or some of the things that we fight with even on this podcast, you know, air conditioning or whatever. You want it to be as clean of an experience as possible. So pay attention to your audio. So if you're using it like an iPhone or iPad, consider something like this, or consider a USB headset. That's going to get you the cleanest audio that you can. So want to pay attention to that as well.
Definitely. I would say consider all those things. Pick a software platform and just give it a try. Don't be afraid to try flipping, recording some videos of your instruction, using some of these tools, and then learn from it and refine it over time. So I think very encouraging. You can do it for very low cost or no cost, and get with the game. It's worth the try.
Yeah. And it's, this is probably not the attitude I should have, but it's fun playing with some of these. Because they are very sophisticated. I mean, just when I was prepping for this, I had really never used the iPad for building out any of these presentations, but it makes a lot of sense, especially for math and for science. They're kind of custom made for some of these apps, but even art and a few others, you know, could work really well with an iPad application. We're going to see more of these on touch-based Chromebooks too, I'm sure, as they become more and more mainstream. And again, in the hands of the students as well, to create, to be creators as well as just consumers, you know, of the content. So we'll include the link again to the presentation in the show notes. Take a look at that. Feel free to repurpose it if you want to maybe give a presentation to your faculty or something on the different options based on that presentation. Feel free to do that. Use kick the tires on some of the apps and have fun with it.
And let us know what you're doing. We'd love to hear your story of flipping your classroom and learn from your experiences. So stay tuned. Stay in touch with WellsTech. Join the conversation. You can do that over on the WellsTech website at wellstech.wells.net.
Very good. We should probably move along, Sally. I went a little long-winded there. News and Tech is our next segment.
And we have news from our friends at Google, believe it or not. They are launching something new with their Google Play Music. They're going to introduce podcasts there. So from podcasters' perspective, that's pretty exciting stuff.
We don't have a lot of information, although WellsTech is going to be on the list. So that's good. So this, I guess, would be Google's answer to what is available on the iPhone or iPad. There's a podcast app. So this is, I think, what they're thinking here. And that's good news for us, because there's just another way to get at the content in these podcasts. And if you, one thing you may want to consider, if you are a church or school that does a podcast, you know, if it's a sermon or Bible class or whatever it is, and you publish it on iTunes, you probably want to get in this catalog as well. So those people on Android and those people that use Google Play can find or discover your content. It's it doesn't cost anything to sign up, and it's a really simple process. All you have to do is plug in your feed, your RSS feed, and Google kind of pulls in all the information with the image and the description for the podcast, and away you go. So
we'll include a link to that information in the show notes.
Yep. Let's move along to Wells Now.
And Martin, I'm not sure if your mind map looks like mine, because we debated different topics here, but
I just recently
read an article about an upcoming very special service, and that is happening at Luther Preparatory School, where they are celebrating their 150th year of existence. And on November 15th, that's a Sunday, about a week and a half away, they're going to have a very, very special service. Starts at 3 p.m. Central Time, and they're bringing in four different Synod School choirs to be a part of this. So they'll have the SIM Choir, the Michigan Lutheran Seminary Choir, the Martin Luther College Choir, along with the Luther Prep Choir, all proclaiming praise for the gift of Luther Preparatory School and the 150 years of lives that it's prepared for service. And there's a really nice series of articles out there about the history of Luther Prep. There are three of those. We'll have a link also to the live streaming and a link to the Luther Prep site, where they have more information about the 150th service. So please do mark your calendars Sunday, November 15th at 3 p.m. Central, and tune in if you can't be there in person to celebrate with Luther Prep their 150th anniversary. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. My heart is with that campus. I had three kids go through there, so that's neat to see them through all these years helping these kids prepare for life and ministry. It's a neat experience there.
Definitely.
Shall we move along to our picks of the week?
We shall. And this is actually a follow-up pick for me. It's based on a webinar that I attended about church copyright. And I got this nifty link to a free ebook. It's titled Solve the Puzzle of Copyright, Six Steps to Learning How to Do Music Right, written by Susan Fontaine Goodwin, who bills herself as the copyright coach. And this is in conjunction with the website Christian Copyright Solution. We talked about it before on the show. So you may remember, Martin, we had some copyright questions come up over the last several weeks. And I mentioned that I had just found out about a webinar that was coming up. And I did sit in on the webinar, and I was quite impressed. Very professionally done, as is this ebook that gets into why we honor copyrights and all the different types of copyrights. So there's these basic building blocks that you need to learn about so that you understand. There's eight types of copyrightable works, and then there's six different exclusive rights of the copyright holders. And even though, you know, there's some fair use type things in play, and churches have special rights during worship services, even though all that is in place, those exemptions don't apply to all eight of those different types of copyright and all six of those different ways that they hold the copyright. So learning about all these different definitional things, and it's always been just really murky water for me, but I think it's really excellently explained in this ebook that's available for free. So definitely check out the link that's in the show notes. Also, be aware that they have a page on this Copyright Coach's site with video webinars that they've done in the past. So there's six different ones posted here. The Why Behind Honoring Copyright, Copyrights 101, The Beauty of a Blanket License, Religious Service Exemption, Copyright Planning and Budgeting, and Churches in the Business of Creative Content. So watch the videos if you want to learn more, and also be aware that they have a live webinar, a second live webinar coming up soon. It's on Wednesday, November 18th, titled The Seven Secrets to Understanding Fair Use and the Religious Service Exemption, where they'll get right into the nuts and bolts of the religious service exemption. Now, definitely these people are associated with a product, and they're going to make you aware of their product, which is a church blanket license for copyright. But they also seem to be very fair in their presentation, and they make you aware of all the different blanket copyrights that are out there. And in the ebook, they even dive into which ones cover which things in terms of the different licensings that are available. There's from the Christian Copyright Solution website, CCLIs and BMIs and all those different copyright licenses that are available. So I found it to just be very professionally done and something that I think we need to all learn more about. And so not the most glamorous thing in the world. We've talked about it many times on the podcast, but I think I'm excited about the resources that they're sharing and the knowledge they're willing to impart upon us. So
probably one of the most often asked questions of us, you know, on the podcast.
So. Yeah, and for good reason, because you don't want to make mistakes in this area. You know, it's certainly a Christian thing to do to comply with the laws of the land and to give those creative people who've worked hard to make these things the proper amount due to them for their work. And so I came away with a much more confident understanding of copyright law and how it applies to congregations, and also just a really pleasant and professional experience with this particular presenter, Susan Goodwin. So yep. Definitely check it out.
That's neat, because they are ministry focused too. Mm-hmm. And that's always helpful to come at it from that vantage point versus, you know, how close to the line can we get? And
yeah,
yeah, that's good. Looks to be very definitive and well put together. So glad you can share that. So you went totally off the mind map there again, Sally. I can't trust this thing from topic to topic.
Got to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my script here. my pick of the week is related to flipped classrooms, and it is a little piece of hardware, very cool piece of hardware that is available from a company called Swivel. And this is for capturing in-classroom presentations. It's a little device. It's about, those of you that are listening, it's about a six-inch sphere. And it's robotic, and it comes with the ability to plug in or to slide in some kind of device. So it can be an iPad, an iPhone, an Android tablet, those kinds of things. So what you would do is you'd mount this on a tripod, or you could put it on a table, and it comes with some software on the iPad. So I'm going to plug the iPad right in here. It just slides in just like that. And you can kind of see it swiveling on me. I've got it turned on right now. Hopefully I don't drop the iPad. And it comes with a sensor. So this little thing you put on a lanyard around your neck. And see, it's following it all over the place here.
It is. It's tilting and doing all kinds of interesting things.
So it's following wherever this lanyard is. It'll work from 3 to 30 feet. So you've got some room there. If I bring it over here, thing will turn around, face the camera.
There it is.
There it comes. So it will follow wherever this device goes. I've got the device over here. And which is very cool, because the teacher just teaches at that point. One thing about the lanyard is it's rechargeable. By the way, the base is got a built-in battery too, so you don't have to have cords hung all over the place as well. And it's got a microphone, so you don't have to count on being close enough to the iPad or the recording device to pick up your audio. So what if you've got this hanging around your neck like this on the lanyard, you're just speaking right into it, and this thing just follows wherever you are. So
maybe back it up and explain it just a little bit differently. The point of it is to record flip videos, basically.
Yep.
It records you as you're lecturing or walking around the classroom.
Exactly. Let me pull this off the base so I can actually show this. So when you're looking at the screen, this is what you would see, because it's using the rear-facing camera. So you're seeing yourself. You're actually seeing my computer record me. But But you just hit the record button, or there's a record button on the lanyard, and it starts to capture you. You can add your own slides. So there's a button here where you just pick, I'm going to take my slides from the library. So I just pick the slide. So now my slide is showing. So I can actually look at my own slide while I'm presenting. And if I hit record.
Can you do that with that fancy remote? Switch to your slides?
Yep. You can go. Awesome. So I would hit the right arrow to go to the next slide. And it's recording the entire time. You can record with either camera. So if you want a little bit better picture, you could record with the rear, the other side of the camera, which is usually better on these devices. But then you wouldn't see your own slide. So what's being recorded in this case is my slide and my picture. So just like a
little picture in picture.
Yeah, you're doing picture in picture. And then to stop, you just hit the record button again. It immediately uploads it to the Swivel server.
And
then you can do some more editing. So you could truly do this. This is used in a lot of educational settings or in professional development kind of settings. But you could record a classroom session, and then somebody who's maybe sick at home or needs to view it at home would have it really available almost immediately, or as long as it takes to upload from your iPad to the server. So it's really easy to do this. And there are some things that you can do once it's up there. You can replace slides. You can change where the picture lives. So if you don't want to block the upper right of the slide, you can move it to the lower left or move it off to the side or get rid of it altogether. So you have a lot of different options. You are, of course, limited by the amount of storage on the device. And it will chew it up, but you can see here, if you're watching at home, how much storage I have left, 35 hours. There's a 64 gig iPad, so it's doing some pretty good stuff with compression. But the neat part about it is you really just kind of hit the record button and you walk. You can go up to the whiteboard. You can do something else do something else within the classroom. You can do a demonstration. And it just kind of does the rest for you. So
pretty
sweet. The Swivel. Yep. It is not inexpensive. It's $399. Although you're getting quite a bit for $399.
I see it's still moving. Isn't it?
I'm trying to turn it off. It's going to follow me wherever. You do have to plug in the audio cable from the iPad or whatever it is to the base itself. So it's actually capturing that, or it's sending it from the base to the iPad so it records that. But really simple to set up. I was really comfortable with it within about a half an hour. I think we're gonna use it here for demos and maybe for in some training sessions that we'll do here. I think the school's office will be very interested in this as well. One of the neat applications for this is in self-assessments for teachers or for student teachers. The ability to record your own session and review it. So lots of opportunities. There is a price to upload. It's not real expensive to store the videos online, so it's actually very economical. The big cost is in the upfront, $399 that you need to pay. But maybe that's a PTA type project, something that would be very valuable for maybe a group like that to consider and get that in the classroom. So I found it very useful, very very cool technology that exists. I don't know of any other competing products even. It just seems to work really well.
That's great stuff. Thanks for sharing.
All right. We should move on to our ministry resources section. Can I count on this one being the same, Sally?
You never know. Okay. Surprise. Today we're going to just give you a quick tour through the Bible.com website. That's right. The YouVersion Bible. And we talk about it a lot. We mention the website. We actually use it in our regular weekly technology team meetings as we do our Bible studies together. And I use it all the time on my phone and on my iPad in Bible class or to read the Bible with my husband as we're studying or whatever it may be. It's pretty much my go-to Bible these days. And there's a lot of really nice features on the website, features on the mobile devices, and features that sync the two that we thought we'd want to you know, just give you a quick run through. So right away when you bring up the Bible.com site, if you've been there before, it tends to remember the last place that you were in the Bible, and it brings it up. But unfortunately, it usually brings it up in the default Bible version. I've already switched it to the NIV, but typically it comes up in the King James Version. So the one thing you have to remember to do is do your, you know, switch your version, which is easy enough to do. You can just click here and you can scroll through the list. And as you're scrolling, you might notice that some of them have little audio icons. So if you were to choose one of those, you can actually make use of the audio and listen to the Bible. And it'll just start playing for you. And there's different people that read the different versions, and it's playing in my ear right now. So that audio component is really nice if you just want to maybe plug it in on your into your car speaker system and listen to the Bible as you're driving or whatever. It works on the mobile devices as well. And not on every version, but it's available for NIV. I think it's Mac McLean. Is that Max McLean that's Max reading? McLean,
right. Yeah. He was a great of ours voice. A long time ago. Yeah, yeah. Really well done.
Yeah. You can see Bible versions side by side. There's an icon that looks like it has two columns. And when you click on that, then you have the ability to pick two different versions and see the versions side by side. And after it loads, then as you scroll, the verses stay in sync with one another, and you can compare things side to side, and you can turn that right back off. One of the things I like in the web version is the ability to go full screen with it, so that you're kind of get rid of all of the distractions around the Bible. Excuse me. It's an icon with arrows, and you can click it again to toggle back to see the other components of the page. And I believe this A icon allows you to pick different fonts and go with a larger font size if you want, and include or turn off, you know, cross-references, footnotes, things like that. So you have some customization you can do there. If you have it on a mobile device, typically to get started, you need to create an account. You don't have to create an account on the web-only version, but it's nice if you have one to go ahead and log in. You can see my account's represented up here with my account name and picture. And then I'm getting the sync of things from my mobile device to what I'm viewing on the web, and vice versa. As I make changes on the web, it'll sync across. And the kind of things that sync are like highlighting. So if this is a favorite verse of mine and I want to highlight it, and that is not what I intended to do, that's showing me actually all my highlights. And now I'm back to the side-by-side view.
Which is kind of I really like that feature, be able to compare translations sometimes, just see how another translator interprets that. But the highlighting, the notes, comments, carrier and sync across, I will often do that, you know, in Bible class as well.
So, and I figured it out. You have to actually click on a verse, and then you click to highlight, and you have a variety of colors that you can choose and tell it to save your highlights and stuff. And you can bookmark things. Here's the notes option, things like that. One thing that isn't available on the web that is available in the mobile device is the ability to do verse images. Hopefully someday soon they'll add that to the web. But on the mobile device, when you click a particular verse, then you can actually select to do an image. And I'm just trying to get it loaded up here. But that's become really fun for me. You can use images that they provide, or you can upload your own images. So sometimes, a few weeks ago when I went to the LWMS rally, I stopped and took some corn pictures because it was harvest time and the corn was just beautiful. And I got some really nice pictures, and then I found a verse about the fields are ripe for harvest, and I added that to my corn picture. But again, on the mobile device, you're just going to click to select a particular verse. And once you do, you get a row of options along the side. And that's where you're going to find that verse image, right there in the sidebar. If I click it, then you'll see you get a lot of different images that they provide for you. You can scroll through and pick one of the ones they provide, or you have the option up at the top to use your own camera roll on your device. And then once you pick one, it brings in the verse you selected. If you're happy with it, I have to click the check mark. And then you can size the verse and pick different fonts and change coloring and lots of fun things you can do. You can save it down to your own camera roll, or you can share it right away to places like Facebook and such if you want to share the verse to your social media channels. So lots of fun options there. And verse images are very popular. So.
Yeah, I would say we've talked a lot about Bible apps before, and we've had whole shows, I think, dedicated to them, mm-hmm. even mobile Bibles. We did reviews a number of years ago, and they all offer different kinds of features. I would say YouVersion or Bible.com is one that is really, really kind of consumer focused, not maybe the serious Bible student, but somebody who's in their Bible and wants to take notes and share and have a community. That's another thing that is available there, where you can share with your friends and have dialogue and conversation. If you want to get more into, you know, some of the tools and, you know, the lexicons and Bible dictionaries, that kind of stuff, you're probably better off considering things like Logos or those kinds of tools. But mm-hmm. I'd say a majority of you know, the average church member or even somebody very familiar with their Bible and wants just some of the kind of the nice features that are available here, it's not bad to have a couple of them on your phone. This is kind of my go-to for lookup verses, and it's kind of where I store all the notes and such, because just some of the features they've done, they keep improving it. It's not just each time you go in, they've added a little bit of something. They have reading plans, mm-hmm. those kinds of things.
Yeah.
It kind of helps you get kind of excited about diving in again. You've got different opportunities, different ways to look at it, and I think they get it. They've done a nice job with it. So mm-hmm. And they haven't charged a dime for this, and you know, it's a really great app to have on your phone. It's one of the first I always install if I get a new phone.
Definitely. Are you seeing more people bring mobile devices to Bible class there, Martin? They are here
some.
In New Ulm.
There's some. Mm-hmm. You see that in New Ulm?
Yeah, definitely. People bring them and set up their, you know, their stands and stuff. And so it's growing. I think we'll see more and more of that.
That's good. Our Wi-Fi is not terrific. And I think that's one of the reasons why adoption has been pretty slow. So that's a reason to have, you know, good Wi-Fi in your facility if you want to encourage people to explore. And I think it does encourage that when people have that all those options in front of them. If they are thinking of maybe a tangent verse or want to look up something else, they'll kind of spend some more time digging deeper into God's Word, which is awesome. So.
Definitely.
I suppose we ought to finish off the show here with our
marathon
video.
We do have a featured video. That's right. I was really excited about the topic you were going to be talking about today, Martin, because it reminded me of one of my favorite things from the Summer's Wells Tech Conference, and that was something we called Ignite. On Friday night, we invited our conference attendees to share their tech and ministry success stories in a really neat format. We gave them 20 slides, 20 seconds apiece. And so wide open to whatever they wanted to.
Pichu.
Something like that. Anyway, one of those that was willing to share was Pastor Kevin Hunley, and he did a presentation on, of all things, on-demand virtual confirmation instruction. In other words, he flipped his confirmation class,
right.
And he told us how he did it and how he engaged parents in the process, and it wasn't all about necessarily the technology of it, but also just the experience and, you know, the good and the bad. I think he would call it a very good, successful,
yeah, it was. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he gave us a really good insight into it and shared his slide deck as well. So we're going to have links in the show notes to his presentation just to kind of complement Martin's great information that he shared with us today.
So go to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, for that information, as well as all of the social ways to interact with Sally and I, or me and Sally, I should say. wellstech@wells.net's our email address. Sure would be nice to get some voicemails. So go to our page, click the, is it a blue button in the right side there?
Send voicemail.
Send voicemail. It could not be simpler. We'd love to hear all y'all's voices as well. So
just pretty easy to do.
Yep. Flip your comment. Next week, we're continuing with our book, With All Your Heart, a book talking about project management for churches, schools, and other faith-based organizations. Saw kind of a hole there that there are some very specific things that those kinds of groups need as far as managing projects. We're kind of taking a couple of concepts and one project or two all the way through the process and building resources around them, so giving you a great idea about how some of these technologies and approaches and methodologies apply. This coming week, the chapter is focusing on planning, project planning, all the things that you can do to get ahead of the curve and try and ensure that your project is going to be a successful one, so that there's not a lot of stress at the end, so to speak. So come back next week and we'll talk about that.
Looking forward to it. I'm learning along the way. It's always nice to explore new topics, and I think it's been helpful already. So more to come.
Yep. Want to thank everybody for joining us this week as we talked about flipped classrooms and all kinds of other good stuff. Hope you will tune in next week. We record this show every Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock Central. If you go to wellstechlive.wells.net, you can join us. There's a question or comment button there if you want to contribute to the show. We would love to have that as well. If not, we are available, of course, on the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. Normally, we get the video published late morning-ish on the following day, so Wednesday morning, tune in. But it's available on iTunes. It's available, you know, basically it's available anywhere you can find podcasts. So hopefully you can find us and tell your friends. Thanks for joining us this week, and blessings on your week. See you next week. Bye-bye.